Welcome to Run 12-1 Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Justin Goins. Welcome. This is Pastor Justin Goins with Run 12-1 Podcast. Thank you for joining in for another episode this week. We're going to pick right back up where we left off. We closed out last episode, Acts chapter number 12. This week, we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 13, obviously, and we're just going to look at the first three verses. There's one main lesson, I guess, or one main thing I want to point out. There is a sub point to this that I don't want to overlook. There are many teachings, there are many truths, so to speak, exegetically to pull out of this text. I don't have time for all of that. I do ask that you would spend your own due diligence in Acts 13, 1 through 3. But the first, if you kind of read the episode details or the summary of the episode, is really not a question. It was a statement. I said this, you never know. You really don't know who is listening. So share the gospel and be confident in Christ. Share the gospel and be confident in Christ. Now, I was going to put be confident, sharing the gospel, and but somebody may think that I'm meaning, you know, being prideful, confident in yourself. That's not what I mean. So I worded it a certain way. So hopefully critics would not take it at all. And now with my explanation of it, they definitely wouldn't. That we would share the gospel because you never know who's listening. And share it in confidence in Christ. Share it with confidence in Christ. But the big thing is to understand is you never know who's listening. There are, especially this day and age, we see all these YouTube videos, all these different Snapchat and just, you know, YouTube, I already said YouTube, but Facebook clips of people bystanders with their phones up and ready as somebody else or as an event is taking place. And really, I don't think you can go anywhere in the world these days, especially where the known world, meaning where people are, without being on some type of camera, especially people's cameras, phone cameras. But even deeper than that, I want you to think of being a Christian, living out Christ, but also sharing Christ. You never, 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 hear me, you never know who's watching. But even, I'm going to say even worse, even better, you never know who's listening. Why do I say that? Well, we're going to pick up verse 1 of chapter 13. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger and Lucius, or Lucius. Now, Barnabas's name wasn't Niger; that was his Roman name. His Jewish name was Barnabas. Simon was his Jewish name. Lucius was his Jewish name. It says Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. The other doesn't mean that they were more important. This is God had a certain specific work for them to do. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. I'll deal with the sub first, the sub subject that I kind of wanted to teach here, but then get to the bulk of it. Sub is the very first section says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch. And it lists Barnabas and Simon. It gives that's their Jewish names. It gives their Roman names. And then it mentions two other people, Manaen, which we'll come back to with the main subject of this talking. And then it says, and Saul, a.k.a. Paul. Now, what's important about that is this is picking up. Chapter 13 is picking up in chapter 11. At the end of chapter 11, chapter 12 switches gears back to Peter. What happens in the end of Acts chapter 11 is there was new believers at Antioch. The church sends out Barnabas to Antioch to see if what was happening was actually of a God movement or if it was just other individuals trying to make fun, poke fun, or some other religion doing something. When Barnabas got there, he saw that it was of God, preached an encouraging message, went back, got Paul of Tarsus, and they left and they went and they membered themselves. Verse 26, they assembled themselves. This is Acts 11:26. They assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were first called Christians first at Antioch. And so they became part of that church. Literally assembled means membered. They membered themselves. So we don't know, and this is, you know, sub teaching here. about church membership. How did the early church handle church membership? How did somebody go from not being a member to a member? Now, we don't see that, but we do see cases like this, that Paul and Barnabas left the church at Jerusalem in good standing, clearly, to go pair or assemble or member. That's what the word used, assemble, but it literally means to member themselves, to join together the church at Antioch for about a space of about 2 years. And so they joined that work there. They became members of the church at Antioch to help them. We pick up, and there's some other things at the end of that chapter, chapter 11, but when chapter 13 picks up with the church at Antioch, where Saul still is, where Paul still is serving. So he's there, he's active. And from that church with this group of four people, God calls and separates out of these individuals, Saul and Barnabas, for his work. And they start going out and serving God really in the Gentile world, seeking to see Gentiles, all people, but a minister or ministers to the Gentiles. So that I wanted to point out as sub-teaching. Number one, that church membership is in the Bible. How one became a church member, some people do voting, some people do we don't know the exact, we do know salvation and baptism, obviously, clearly, are prerequisites for someone to be a member of a church. Some churches use baptism in that moment as when they're baptized to identify with Christ, but also as a way to saying, hey, they also want to join the church. I don't have a problem with that. Some transfer of letters or statements of faith or whatever the case may be. We don't know exactly the process, but we do. But just because we don't know the process, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Meaning you don't just throw out membership because we don't know how they became members or what the process was. There are a lot of different things that we may not know the exact process of, but it doesn't, again, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That doesn't nullify that church membership isn't a thing. It is clearly a thing. And the Bible isn't silent about this. Saul is still at Antioch, membered himself, is Saul as a man in that church, a member of that church. In Acts 11, and also here solidifying in Acts chapter 13. So there's your sub-teaching. The real kind of meat that I really wanted to spend time on here next is you never know who's around watching you live out Christ and or sharing Christ. Hopefully you do both, because faith cometh by hearing, not by seeing, but faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We know that according to Romans chapter 10. So with that being said, when we look at this, we see this individual, after it names Barnabas and Simon, gives their Roman name. Then it says, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, literally meaning his foster brother. He was a foster kid. He was the brother, but a foster brother, if you may, a stepbrother, but not even in a step sense where you have at least you share one of the same, you know, parents. He was just brought up with him. So like a stepbrother. Manaen grew up in the same. So who is this Herod? Well, it's the Herod Antipas that Pilate sent Jesus to. You can read this in Luke chapter 23, specifically in verses 6 through 12. It's Herod Antipas's house, or this is where Manaen grew up at. And Jesus lived his life out in front of this man. He was probably there that day, being brought up with this, his stepbrother, so to speak. Manaen was probably there that night that Jesus was brought to his stepbrother or foster brother's house, Herod Antipas. And somehow along this line, because of, I believe, the testimony of Christ being there, but also that potency, also the lives lived out by the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ that we had post-resurrection of Jesus Christ, spoke volumes to this man who was a heathen, who was a part of, I believe, around at least, the beating of Christ, the mockery of Christ. But because of the testimony of Christ himself and the testimony of word, aka the gospel message given, this man is now a part of the church, meaning, again, he's saved. He's a saved individual. Now, not everybody who's at a church means that they're saved, but the Bible in Acts chapter 13 is correlated, the language here with all four of these men, that they are Christian men. They are believers in Christ, and they are laying their hands upon the two that God chose. Now, Manaen wasn't one of the two, but nonetheless, he's grouped in with these four individuals. And so we never know. You may think you're aware, but I don't think we are truly aware of the fact that you never know who is watching you, but also you never know who is listening to you. Brother and sister in Christ, let me encourage you today with the bulk of this message. Live out Christ today. Live out Christ every day. You can't live tomorrow yet. You're living today. Live out Christ today. Where are you listening to this? Are you at home? Are you in your car? Are you at the grocery store? Are you at work? Are you at the gym? Are you running? Are you mowing the lawn? Where are you listening to? How much of your day do you have left? With the day that you have left, live out Christ, but also share Christ, because you never know who might be in the next room listening. When you're at home, talk to your wife or talk to your husband. Talk in your home about Christ, because if you have kids in your house, they're going to listen. They're going to hear. How often is Christ talked about? I joke as a pastor sometimes that most of the time what's talked about at church-wise is something that the pastor did, and so the kids grow up despising pastoral understanding. And then we got a next generation that hears more complaining about from their parents about the pastor than they do about loving and caring and praying for the pastor, but also talking about Christ. Probably more complaining in Christian households about the church, and we wonder why kids despise the church or grow up to mimic their parents' involvement in churches. Well, could it be that the very soil to which we have cultivated in our homes is that of complaining? Just some food for thought from a pastoral standpoint. Not that my house is ever perfect completely. No, far. But we strive to have positive talk, especially being a pastor, having kids that grew up in a pastor's home. It's very difficult to vet certain times. Wish I could say I did it perfectly every time. That I am doing it perfectly every time. I've grown. I do it better than I did when I first started, of talking about maybe hard times or griefs in the church or disagreements that I need to be aware of myself as a pastor, because I can create a very negative view. Why? Because I see more than your typical church member does. Your pastor. Your pastor sees more than a typical and knows more about what's going on, should know more about what's going on in the church than your typical members. Well, with all that being said, even with the atmosphere of your home, to get back on track here, the atmosphere of your home, you got people listening. Your neighbors are listening. What are your neighbors hear from your home? What do they hear? You never know. You may have a Manaean in the room or down the hall or across the gas pump. Or across the aisle, or across the clerk station when you're checking out at Walmart or the grocery store, you may have a Manaean standing there. That because of the way you live, because of the way you respond, because of the way you share Christ, the way you share Christ out of your mouth, they, my friend, come to faith in Christ. How are you living out Christ? How are you sharing verbally Christ? People are, not might, but people are watching. I encourage you, live out Christ, verbally share Christ. God bless. Thanks for taking the time to listen to Run 12-1 Podcast. Run your marathon race that God has placed you in. God bless.